Haines residents register their opinion about the Juno Road project. And Skagway hosts the inaugural Fall Festival this weekend. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Public meetings on the Juno Access Road project continued Wednesday in Haines, and while the crowd remained mild-mannered, opponents of the road project outnumbered those who favor a hard link to the capital city. 15 people representing the Department of Transportation, including staff, consultants, and contractors, attended the hearing, plus two officials from Federal Highway Administration were present at the Haines meeting Wednesday. They chose to travel to Haines by plane instead of the Wednesday afternoon state ferry. During the three-hour open house, officials and consultants pored over maps with residents, answering questions about the project or aspects of studies and analysis in the recent draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement released last month. In that document, the state affirms its preference for improving Juno access by extending the Glacier Highway north of the capital city to Katsahine. That's where the state would build an unmanned ferry terminal to shuttle passengers to Haines and Skagway. The highway construction is expected to cost $523 million. The new ferry terminal and ferries are estimated at another $51 million. DOT Special Projects Manager Gary Hogans explained the point of the process the project is in and how the public input during the meetings and until November 10th will be used.
The department and the Federal Highway Administration will take the comments, assess the comments, and number one that folks need to understand is even though we have a preferred alternative, that is not final. And we assess the comments and we assess our preferred alternative and what's to be gained from these comments. If there's any additional information we have to develop, anything we have to clarify, that's all part of our reevaluation.
The department also has to respond to each written or verbal comment in the final environmental impact statement, due out next fall. Many residents attended the open house to talk with consultants and submit written comments, but about 60 people stayed for the public hearing. As expected, the majority of the 26 people who testified publicly spoke in opposition of the road project. A handful of residents expressed support for the project and easier, faster access to Juno for the Upper Lynn Canal. And a few people expressed support for a road, but on the west side of Lynn Canal. That is an alternative the state considered, but does not prefer. Longtime West Side Road proponent Jack Wenner said the terrain on that side is easier and safer. And John O'Green said if there has to be a road, it should be on the west side, because options exist for expanding it beyond just Juno and Haines.
The west side benefits the people of Southeast Alaska and all visitors tremendously because it also opens up the opportunity to take a road all the way to Gustavus and to Glacier Bay. It gives us access to icy straits and better fishing. It opens up so much good country for people, for all kinds of recreation.
But Green also expressed support for expanding ferry service.
We have a highway. It's the Alaska Marine Highway.
As for those that oppose the state's preference for the East Side Road, they listed numerous concerns, including avalanche dangers, geological hazards, construction and maintenance costs, and convenience for Haines and Skagway residents. Maria Pointer, a former Alaska Marine Highway deckhand, said she hasn't seen any wind studies for a Katsahine ferry terminal. She said that area is a wind tunnel that will challenge even the most experienced ferry captains to dock.
As far as I'm concerned, whether they have a sufficient bow thruster system or a sufficient propulsion system, it's going to be a nightmare on the worst days.
Annie Boyce said the road plan disenfranchises foot passengers. She said the road plan forces residents to bring a car to or from Juno or rely on private enterprise to develop a plan to transport foot passengers between Katsahine and Juno. But she also echoed something else noted by many longtime residents, that discussions of the road have been going on for at least a decade.
It is hard to be patient and have mutual respect in this proceedings because I feel as if we've brought the same concerns to the state and the federal authorities for 10 years.
While Boyce and others talked about the years of ongoing debate over a road project, Klukwan Elder Joe Hotch looked to the future. The 84-year-old former tribal president said he was speaking for future generations in wanting to preserve his family's way of life. He said the Katsuhin Ferry Terminal is proposed for an area important to fisheries.
The salmon that comes up on that site, they gather right there where the ferry terminal is proposed. King salmon, sockeye, coho, halibut, crab, all the mixture of food is going to be injured if the road goes through.
While the project is called Juneau Access and focuses on opening access to the capital city, residents reminded officials the effects on Haines and Skagway shouldn't be dismissed. Sue Liebenson said opening access to Juneau via a road would damage the economies of Skagway and Haines. She compared it to Tuckheatna, where there are few commodities because residents can drive an hour to Wasilla to buy most things.
That would be the future of Haines. We would just be a truck stop where you could buy cigarettes, ice cream, and you'd be lucky to buy anything else. So the economics of this are frightening for the business community of Haines and Skagway.
There was also a series of comments from members of one of Haines's longest established families. Roger, Deborah, and John Schnabel all testified at Wednesday's hearing, but they didn't agree. Roger, owner of Southeast Road Builders, expressed support for an east side road and DOT engineers, saying he trusts the DOT to design the best option for a road. John Schnabel said he supports a road but believes it's better suited for the west side of Lynn Canal to open up more area and provide a safer route. Deborah Schnabel, meanwhile, refuted both of those comments, raising some eyebrows and drawing laughs at the same time. She started with issuing a, quote, cry for reason, saying there is no economic benefit to the project except the jobs generated during construction. She compared it to the so-called Road to Nowhere between Gravina Island and the mainland, a proposal then-Governor Sarah Palin squashed. Schnabel said she wished the state would do the same with the Juneau Road project.
Where is Sarah when we need her? If you were gathering input on this project from people in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Barrow, or Bethel, you would know how wrong this project is for the state of Alaska. Like Sarah, let's have the courage to decline federal money just because we can.
Schnabel said a road is not going to make access to anywhere easier, nor will it benefit an important economic driver of Southeast's economy, marketing the wilderness to visitors and tourists. She also challenged the project planners, some who were sitting facing her, that the data, studies, and analysis doesn't support the project. Rather, she said, it's a feat some want to try to accomplish.
I can only conclude, and I do this with respect for your intelligence and your skill, as my brother said, to this great state and the intelligence of the DOT. But in this particular instance, the Juneau Access Road project stays alive in the minds of men with a bent towards engineering who simply want a legacy of having done something that many said couldn't or shouldn't be done.
The public comment period on the more than 1,200-page SEIS runs through November 10th. The next major milestone in the project is fall 2015, when the final version of the environmental impact statement is expected, along with a record of decision from the Federal Highway Administration. If a record of decision is issued then, that means the state can move ahead with the design, land acquisition, and construction of its preferred option, an east side Lynn Canal Road. The final open house and public hearing takes place next Thursday in Skagway. The open house begins at 3 p.m. and the public hearing at 6 p.m. in the multipurpose room at the Skagway High School. The busy season might be over, but Skagway's Convention and Visitors Bureau is looking to show that the town isn't just for summer visitors. It's hosting the inaugural Fall Festival this weekend, calling it a celebration of art, music, and life in the North. Here's Wendy Anderson of the CVB.
We decided that Fall Festival would be a great time to try and, first of all, get our neighbors from surrounding communities to come and visit and you know, reconnect with our friends from neighboring communities after our busy season. But also, you know, just as a way to encourage our summer friends to possibly stick around a little longer, you know, to be able to enjoy Skagway in October, because October in Skagway is kind of a well-kept secret.
The event runs 3 days with activities like pumpkin carving, a knitting circle, the popular leather mask making class with Tegan Baldwin, puppetry workshop and show by Geppetto's Junkyard of Haines, and a jazz improv workshop and jazz concert. The UAF Cooperative Extension is hosting several workshops, including canning, pickle making, and a workshop to teach the basics of the cottage food business. Anderson said these classes are for anyone, but probably of special interest to Skagway year-round residents.
Cottage businesses do well in this area, and it really helps people get through the year when it's our main economy is a tourist-based economy. It can give a nice little boost to people to help them be able to live in Skagway.
There's also a special upcycle challenge going on in conjunction with the festival. Information about the challenge has been on the Skagway Swap Facebook page to encourage recycling and upcycling. Anderson said with it being the first year of the festival, the CVB is open to ideas for other types of activities or classes it could host. For more information and a complete schedule of fall festival activities in Skagway this weekend, visit the CVB's Facebook page. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.